for my underwear. And I'm like, it feels so weird and so wrong. I feel like I have a diaper. Like my shorts were packed.
I know. It's funny feeling like naked, huh? In a crop top. But then after a while, it starts to feel like wearing real shirts.
Okay.
It's like really constricting and terrible.
I was just thinking how funny it was that this must be how the dogs feel. Huh. I know this is how the dogs feel.
What?
Because in that song, Hot to Go, and everyone's spelling. And I was like, what are they guys spelling?
Like, did it really take you that long to figure out what she's saying?
Like, well, I didn't know the name of the song first.
Yeah.
And so I
so you're just like listening to it being like blah 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 blah.
I
it's Hot to Go.
Yeah, I don't really listen to lyrics really per se. Well, I do, like, they're like a secondary or a thirdary.
That's wild to me.
Yeah, that's just not my
lyrics are like the primary function of music for me.
Not so much.
I feel very strongly.
Not so much for me. But yeah, so no wonder the dogs can't figure it out when we spell P-A-R-K or like G-O. O-U-T-S-I-D-E.
Yeah.
Sound like a fun fire.
A little spelling bee in here.
Campfire song.
Yeah.
There's something else I wanted to say. I think it's so interesting.
Huh.
The continual, like, even in this day and age, the continual, like when people propose and are going to get married and stuff, and the male-centric, like, oh, you still got time to run away. You still got time to get out. Like,
I know. Yeah.
What is that? Why is that still a thing?
I don't know.
Why does that still happen? Is that like stuff that happened to them? And so they're just further...
Well, yeah, I think it's people furthering projecting the cycle. Their underlying beliefs about partnerships. And like very much the thing where like cis men hate women or like hate femininity,
I guess.
It's just
an interesting thing because you don't have to get married.
Yes.
No one has to get married.
No.
It's just such an interesting...
But also like people in that demographic benefit from marriage, but they just don't value the person they're married to.
I actually read, this is kind of interesting too, speaking of marriage, I read the most interesting Am I the Asshole?
Oh.
Actually, could I share it
with
you? You wouldn't mind?
No, I would like to hear it.
Also, let me find it real quick. Let me see if I can find it again.
Okay. H-O-T-T-O-G-O. You can't take me home.
Also, did you know the rate of sterilization jumped up after the overturning of Roe v. Wade?
Yeah.
That's one of those numbers.
I'm not surprised by that at all.
Yeah. Isn't that so... it's not really interesting.
Yeah, it's...
Okay, I guess... Okay, I can pretty much... I can't find the Am I the Asshole?
Okay.
But I can pretty much tell you it. I remember it pretty well.
Please do.
Okay, so essentially what had happened was, so there's this couple and the person who's writing the Am I the Asshole is, they're like in their 30s, I think.
Sure.
And basically the happily married couple and the wife in this situation is the one writing the story.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, am I the asshole for wanting a divorce from my husband because essentially like he's in love with someone else. Not in love, but he's like infatuated. This is a situation where like polyamory would be a really great avenue for people.
Well,
but also, I know, like I just, in my head, that's what
not
I think.
Now you're a cheater.
Yes,
though.
No, no, the other person's not cheating. Well, like emotional cheating is kind of cheating.
Being so, in love with someone else.
Well, I hadn't even told you the
cheating
story yet, and you're jumping the gun.
Okay, sorry.
So they basically, husband, wife, everything great at home, shared labor. They have a child, a couple months old. I think they said like 15 months old or something. Not, they have a baby. And the husband has hobbies. And one of the people he does the hobbies with is a woman who he does like, is like emotionally connected to. They spend a lot of time doing their hobbies. And the person... The woman that the husband is interested in is like an expert, and like he described it as like feeling like he loves his wife, but he feels like a more complete and full and like whole, and like that person pushes him.
Oh,
kind of like a thing. Yeah. But he's very much in love with his wife. But the wife said that she doesn't want to be married to someone who's like,
infatuated with someone else.
Yeah. And I guess. I'm trying to make sure I'm not mixing this up. No, there'd been no cheating or anything like that. And, you know, like, and they're like, basically, like, am I the asshole for wanting a divorce from my partner who's clearly, like, essentially in love with someone else?
Yeah.
He hasn't done anything. He actually, like, confessed it and was, like, very open and honest with his wife about it.
Which is an integrity move, but.
Totally. But still. I was like, wow, like, I'm wondering what these hobbies are, or
I know.
I'm so interested. What do you think?
What was it?
Well, it wasn't in the post. I don't know how people found out.
Was it in the comments? Or?
Yeah, it was in the comments. What was if you it had D&D? To get. Yeah.
I knew it. It was D&D. I knew it was D&D from the start. It was D&D
and metal music.
Not surprised by that at all. This is because this is the problem that like D&D, I feel like people sort of joke about like, you know, oh, D&D is like an excuse to flirt with my friends or whatever.
I do that anyways. Let me tell you.
But like it does kind of turn into a thing where like, or like it could anyways.
Yeah.
Could turn into the thing where like all of a sudden we're in too deep. That's what I'm saying. It's not a problem, but it's just, it's a very personal medium.
Oh, absolutely. Right? Yeah. And also there's some vulnerability to it. Well,
and a lot of role playing for most people is about like parts of themselves, right? Yeah. Like we just inherently as human beings draw from our own personal experience. So of course there's going to be aspects of us that come out in our characters and stuff.
They're like,
you know?
Oh, they spend
it
is a lot like of
very
time.
Personal. Yes.
Cause in this, they like, they spend a, the husband spends a lot of time on their hobby with the other person.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what could it be? I was like thinking it was going to be it. Some.
Immediately. I was like, oh, no, maybe I just
that
have,
was not my first thought.
I was like, maybe I just have D&D brain rot, but I'm like, I bet it's fucking D&D. I bet God, that's their hobby.
And you would be so right.
I almost interrupted you to ask what the hobby was too, but I was like, just be patient.
No, because it didn't say that in the comments. And I was like, okay, well, I'm like, maybe it's like something. Someone was like fucking rock climbing or like doing some crazy ass like hiking shit or some like, I don't even know. Cause I was like, what would you be spending a lot of time with?
It's very emotional, D&D.
Oh, absolutely. All the time and stuff comes into it. But yeah. So
that's really sad.
Is that person the asshole?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either, because especially in like a monogamous relationship, like that would fucking suck too to be like your partner being like, yeah, I love you, but also this other person makes me feel more myself.
Yes. And that's the thing too, is that I don't think wanting a divorce, even for a reason that somebody else doesn't resonate with, makes you an asshole.
I don't think like, divorce at all ever makes you an asshole. Yeah.
Being in a relationship that's just not working in some form or fashion sometimes means that we get a divorce. And like, that's, you know, I mean, you and I talked about this too, that like
we have
being in like a tough spot in your relationship doesn't mean that you don't love that person.
Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah.
Like
clearly
it's entirely possible. And like, you know, it happens that people will divorce their partner, not because they don't love them, but because it just doesn't, it's not working anymore.
And I think like a totally fair thing. I
feel
know,
like we
I
need to normalize
so many,
that.
I feel like I think of so many people like in our parents' generation and stuff that just stayed married.
Yeah.
For the convenience
like each other.
Or for the like the societal expectation. How you doing over there?
I'm just adjusting my pants.
The societal expectation of it. Yeah. And or like to raise the kids. Like that one always.
That one as if your kids can't tell.
Yeah.
When you're
unhappy. Because also too like, yeah, because obviously both my parents stayed together and obviously yours have too.
Yeah.
But it's always like that thing of like, is it better to be together and miserable, or is it like better for your children?
I don't think so.
Have you said, yeah, it's like a hard thing.
Thankfully, I don't think my parents are miserable, but
no. I'm not talking about ours. No, I'm just talking about people. No. Oh my God. No.
Just to be clear.
No. Oh, I was not talking about that at all. No, I was talking about like
from the outside, that would sound like what you
for
were talking about.
Like, is it better? No. Okay. Thank you for clarifying. I didn't mean that at all. No, I think that's far from the case.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
But yeah, no, I just always wonder about that. Like if we were in a situation like that, thankfully not having kids.
Yeah.
But yeah.
No, I feel like it's better to get a divorce and to have an amicable relationship than to force it. And especially too, because in a monogamous context, that means that you're then depriving each other of having a partner who feels the way that he feels about his friend, but towards her.
Yeah.
She deserves that.
Yeah.
You know,
I think
like
so too.
We all do. And I think that she's honestly, like, I respect that a lot for being on her own side enough to be like, I'm not taking this like, you know, half of a bird in my hand.
Yeah.
I want to explore like the two birds that could be out there, you know?
Of course you figured out it was D&D before. That is not what I was expecting.
I really think it's because I have D&D brain rot, to be fair.
That's fair. After also, hi everyone. This
hi.
Is the title escapes me.
We
because
should unpack this.
We're gonna unpack this. don't forget to take your medicine.
Yeah.
Grab a snack.
Uh-huh.
And come hang out with us. But
also I'm Mickey, that's Aaron.
Oh yeah, hi. I am so thankful.
Yeah.
For everyone who listened to last week's episode, I'm going to talk about it. And it might make
valid.
Me cry again. But I'm gutted. We pressed the stop record button on our little machine and it just froze.
Uh-huh.
And Mickey and I just sat there and looked at it. We looked at each other, looked at each other. And like, it's always so funny in those situations because my gut reaction is to start pushing buttons.
Uh-huh.
And you're just like, don't touch it. Don't touch it.
Let it live.
And we let it live, and we let it live, and...
You make it sound like we sat here for 20 minutes. We literally waited for 30 seconds.
It felt like a really long time. It felt like a really long time. Yeah. Don't tell me it didn't.
It
just sat there, and it did nothing, and our audio from the last week's episode
disappeared.
Yeah, we had an audio file for an hour-long recording that said it was 0 seconds and 0 milliseconds long. Isn't that... Don't you just love to see all those zeros?
You love it. So you love to see it.
Thank you for listening to last week's episode and bearing with us. Hopefully this week we are back to normal and back to running.
What if at the end of this episode it does it again?
I
might throw the road out the window.
I don't want to. We actually have a balcony that we could do it. We'll record it and film at least get the views for it.
Yeah, get some audio from that.
Just gutted. Just
it's really
crushing.
Sad.
Yeah.
It's just frustrating too because there's not really a way for us to have backup audio on something like this.
Yeah.
Like we have one microphone each and like they both feed into the same thing. So if that thing shits the bed, then we're fucked.
I'm like so hyper aware now. I'm like, is the red button on?
Is the
red button? Are the red lights
on? Working? I think it's going to be fine.
Speaking of, do you feel sad or how do you feel when you hear about like horror stories from therapy?
I think there's like a mix of sad and angry for me.
Do you ever feel like, oh, thank God? Or does it ever feel like, oh, thank God, at least I'm not that bad? Or
yeah, there's definitely like an aspect of like I think we talked about this the other day in the car with driving, where I was like, anytime that I think I'm a bad driver, I remember that there are people.
There's
like
snowbirds that exist.
Well, and also like that kid on our way home who was in his little Subi driving
complete
fucking asshole.
He's driving like a child, just fucking bobbing, weaving, just to go have to make a U-turn still.
Literally,
anyways.
Like what are you doing? Right, riding up on people's bumpers and stuff, and just like
cutting over three lanes
for like, the sake of that's so dangerous.
For what?
Yeah.
For what?
But yeah, no, there is kind of an aspect of that like, you know, okay, well, I could be a much worse therapist, to be fair. But yeah, we're talking about therapy horror stories today because...
Do I have any myself? I don't think I have any.
No, I don't think you've had bad experiences.
Mm-mm. I've been very fortunate in my therapy journey experience.
You're welcome.
Fun times. Hey.
What?
How does that mean? I found my own therapist I found.
Yeah, but I like helped set some parameters for you.
I don't remember what they were, but I think sometimes knowing more about therapy too sometimes makes it hard.
It does.
Going into therapy too, if they're not doing something, or I'm like, oh, you're doing CBT right now. I don't like that.
Yeah.
Can you not do that to me, please?
Yes. But yeah, so we're talking about that. Somebody left a request for it in, I think it was the main channel request thing, but I felt like it would be good for the pod because they're kind of longer stories and this is like a longer format.
Oh, it's like a story. We're having a little storytelling time.
Yes.
Are you going to do the reading or do you want me to do the reading?
We can trade off. I also have my own therapy horror story.
Oh, wait, you do? Yeah. Like in your own sessions?
Or? Yeah. No. Like from my own therapist. Not the most recent one. You know who I'm talking about.
I do. Oh my God. Can we talk about that?
Yeah. We're going to. I think so. I do think it goes without saying that this episode has kind of a trigger warning on it for like therapy and like poor therapy. And like in talking about therapy horror stories, there are inevitably going to be like boundary crossing issues and like abusive power stuff. So if that's squeaky for you, like know that.
Please take care of yourself.
Yeah. Do you want to start with one from the Discord or do you want to start with one of our own?
I think let's do a little self-disclosure first. Let's start with share one of yours first.
Okay. So
are you going to fill us in?
Thankfully, yeah. I only have one horror story. I have had
Quite a few.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5... 6 therapists in my lifetime.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Are you including our couples?
Yeah.
Also, our couples therapist looks like someone else in a TV show. Like,
can
I just
we just
can't...
say who our couples therapist looks like?
Okay.
We
don't see them anymore, so it's fine.
Yeah, if he ever watches this, hi.
I wonder if because you always wish you could check in on your clients sometimes too.
Yes, yes. It's unethical to do that, so I doubt that he would. But he looks a lot like Stanley Tucci,
it
made me love
like
him
Stanley
even more.
Tucci.
His little glasses.
It's the glasses. It's the glasses and the bald head.
The bald head. Oh, and his mannerisms too, though.
Yeah.
Like he had a very Stanley Tucci
like
sort
gayer,
of
like a gayer Stanley Tucci.
Yeah. But Stanley Tucci to me is very queer coded. I know that Stanley Tucci is not.
Well, he always plays characters too. Also, is Stanley Tucci a good person in real
I think so. I'm pretty sure.
I don't know if this is true or not. I think there was something where I don't know if this is true or not.
Are you going to gaslight me again?
No. If someone can clarify this in the comments or not, I can't remember if I read this or not. This is just like a weird.
Spit it out.
Okay. I think he might have cheated or like had an affair with someone while his wife had cancer and was recovering from cancer.
Oh,
I don't know
no.
if that was him. If that's not,
don't
please
tell
clarify.
Me that.
I know. Please clarify
I love
that. In the
Stanley Tucci.
Please clarify that in the comments.
Oh.
If anyone knows off the top of their dome,
I'm really disappointed
my phone
by
is
that.
Too far away for me to. Actually, it's right there.
Yeah,
but are you going to Google it?
Yeah.
Fact checking. Oh fuck! I was right.
Edie Falco admitted Stanley Tucci briefly left his wife for her.
Oh, no.
Stanley Tucci tried to break up with wife because of a 21-year age gap relationship.
He tried to break up with her because?
So I guess he briefly left his wife.
Okay.
But then got back together with his wife.
Okay.
So he like cheated, but then got back together with her.
Okay. How do we feel about that? But no cancer?
I don't know. I didn't see anything about cancer.
Okay. Okay. Okay.
There might be cancer stuff in there, to be fair, but I don't know. That is like a statistic that is really sad and jarring, which is that if you are a woman with cancer, you're much more likely to be left by your spouse.
Yeah.
That's so awful.
That's so sad.
But also, I think it speaks to the, like the cultural issue that we have about men using women for their labor rather than loving women for who they are.
Yeah.
Yeah. When the, you know, practical benefits of having a partner aren't there anymore, then they see like, no value in the relationship because they don't love you as a person anymore.
That's so fucking disheartening.
That's fucked up.
So sad.
It's gross. I don't relate to that at all.
Okay.
Anyways,
speaking of relating.
So let's talk about my therapy horror story.
Tell me.
I've had six therapists in my lifetime. Yep. The first one, two were unremarkable.
Okay. When was the first time you went to therapy? Were you?
So this was after I had my bathroom floor breakdown where I just sat on the bathroom floor for hours.
I remember vividly.
So I went to my primary care doctor.
Because we were like, this can't be normal.
Well, at the time I was also getting birth control shots.
I
went for my birth control shot. They make you do all of this stuff. And then, you know, they lumped one of my primary care visits in with it. And I fill out one of the questionnaires and like, answered it honestly for the first time ever.
Yeah, isn't it so funny how that?
And they were like, "Hey, did you want to talk about that maybe? Because your score's like off the charts, my dude." So at that point, my primary care physician gave me a prescription for antidepressants and gave me a referral for therapy to a place here in Tucson.
Oh, did they prescribe you antidepressants right then and there?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't remember that.
But they gave me a referral to a place here in Tucson called Kodak. That is like the community mental health.
Yes, the big one.
Yes, and I called and tried to, you know, get in for like an appointment.
Yeah,
and they said it's gonna be like 6 months.
Yeah. The wait list was that long.
Yeah. And so I waited and had my therapy session there, and it was like very unremarkable.
Yeah.
It was like, you know, whatever.
I feel like your first.
I think I stayed for like a few sessions, but I was like, I just don't.
Is that typical like for the first session to be? Like just...
Yeah. Well, I think for your very first involvement with therapy, a lot of people are just not feeling it. Some people do get lucky, right? Where you have like a great therapist right off the bat. But it's common, especially when you're like a younger person.
That makes sense.
You don't really know yet. Totally, and you're not really... You know, as an adult, I think people have a greater ability to communicate efficiently that like, this is what's happening. This is what I need.
Yeah.
I know this about myself. Here's how I need help. Blah, blah, blah. Here's how it's shown up in my life.
It's like having the language thing.
Yeah, exactly.
I thought TikTok's probably actually been really helpful for that, for younger.
I think so,
for
too.
Younger people figuring out like, oh shit, like this is.
And also knowing like, what can we actually do here?
Yeah,
right?
Actually, that's a good point.
At the time, I didn't know. I mean, I was like 20 years old.
Yeah, but you were like sad and you're like, I just want.
Yeah, I was like, I know that therapy is the thing that you do to feel better. And I don't know, like, I feel bad, man.
But I want therapy.
Yeah, I'm 19 years old and I can't function. So, like,
help
me. Yeah. So unremarkable.
Yeah.
But this third therapist that I went to, you know what's funny? Looking back at it, I should have known from the jump. I should have known from the fucking outset that this person sucks because.
Oh, the third one?
The third therapist that I saw. I had worked with another therapist.
The second one was the one you saw over by, I don't want to say, okay.
Yes.
By the plants?
Yes.
Okay.
By
the plants. I was like, what the fuck?
No, it was that therapist that ultimately I just ended up not vibing. I think that therapist is a really good therapist, but I wasn't ready.
For that, you did not do well about taking accountability.
There was a moment where they kind of like confronted me with some work that I needed to do, and I was not ready to do it. And I was like, I don't like you. And so...
Didn't you ghost them?
Yes. I stopped going.
And it's okay.
Actually, that's not true. I did send them a message saying... Because they reached out to me, left me a voicemail. And I returned it and was like on their answering machine because I was a chicken. And I was like, hi, I just don't think it's a good fit. I don't think I'm going to come back. Sorry. Thanks. Bye.
That therapist totally knew.
Yeah.
They fucking knew.
No,
they
definitely
talked about too, though. I wish I could go back in time. And I would have been so fucking annoying to you about it because I'd be like, you probably need to go back. The fact that you're having this response means you probably need to be doing whatever work it is they're suggesting because now that's what you do to me. Every time I'm like, oh, I'm quitting therapy. I'm not doing it anymore. I'm done.
But I only did it once. And also, I went to a new therapist after that.
Oh, okay. So now we're playing the numbers game. Wow. Real fucking rich. Okay, continue.
I didn't quit therapy as an institution. I just quit that therapist.
You could never quit therapy as an institution at this point. Shut up. You're going to be in the old folks' home, and people are just going to be spilling their guts.
Yes, actually. So that second therapist, good therapist, just wasn't a good fit. And mm-hmm. I went and found this third therapist at my intake appointment. I show up to the office, and we all know I have ADHD. I'm never on time for things. But so this means that I overcompensate by leaving super early for stuff.
Yes. It's the thing that, like, if I do this, I have 7 minutes to do this, and then I have 8 minutes to get here. Yes.
So I found this therapist on Psychology Today. I called and left a voicemail, and they were like, we're full, whatever. And then I got a call back like a few weeks later, and they were like, someone, you know, had a spot open up from our wait list. So, like, you know.
Yeah, here you go.
Here you go. So I show up for my appointment, and I'm like, just thankful that I got in somewhere.
Oh, I know, especially at that point too, because you're just like, fuck, like, just, yes. I just want help.
I show up for my intake appointment, and it's like this weird, you know, like little office complex, whatever. Mm-hmm. The therapy office is upstairs. So I walk upstairs and, you know, go to open the front door of this like therapy office, and it's locked. And I was like, this is my worst nightmare. Am I late? Did I, because I am constantly the person who'll gaslight myself and be like, you missed it, you dumb bitch. You recorded you the wrong time in your phone. This was at a period of time in my life where I was forgetting everything too, because I had.
What's different from now?
Shut up. I had just terribly kidding. Untreated ADHD and like no tools, no skills whatsoever. You've had
terribly untreated ADHD for like 90% of your life.
That's okay. Yeah, true. Up until recently. But I started to freak out because I was like, oh my God, I missed my appointment. Yes. I'm never going to get into this therapy office now.
I'd have been so embarrassed. I'm like, I'm supposed to be here. I'm totally supposed to be here.
Well, and so I was like, okay, I don't know what to do. I like double, triple checked my confirmation email, my confirmation text message, the whole thing. I'm standing outside this office, like on the verge of tears, being like, I don't know what's going on. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do.
By no, or, it was, thank God.
It was dead.
I can't tell if that makes it better or worse.
It was worse because I was like, how is there nobody in this office? Because also, it was like 2 p.m.
Oh yeah,
on a weekday.
And it's a busy complex too. And I
was like, it was that thing where you like start to gaslight yourself into being like, oh, I'm stuck in a liminal space. I've accidentally entered a pocket dimension and I'm stuck here. No one can hear me.
Can I say something real quick?
What?
About the thing that you hate when I say it sometimes?
What?
Like if the car, because I'm like, okay, if you didn't, oh, this is good, this drives, I'm like, okay, so sometimes I pick, okay.
Say it. No, just say it.
Because like sometimes if stuff happens like similarly, like two cars look the same, I'm like, oh damn, there must have been a problem with the rendering or something, because I'm like, the world is only rendering what's immediately around me.
I'm like,
oh, they were late to render that one. Or like sometimes when we come out of our neighborhood and then like I'll look, I swear, and then there's a car all of a sudden. I'm like, I just looked over there. I'm like, why did they put that car there like
that? No, I don't, you talk actually, about our life like it's the Truman Show sometimes. No, and it's so scary. You said something to me one time too about how like, wouldn't it be crazy if when we drove under the streetlight, because it was like at nighttime and the streetlight makes like, you know, the little triangle shape of light.
Yeah.
You're like, wouldn't it be crazy if we drove under this light and we went into a different dimension? And
I didn't
like,
say that.
God damn it. Yeah, you did.
No.
Yes, you did.
No.
It's burned into my brain.
When did I say that? When?
This is a long time ago. We were driving down Aviation Highway and it was like late at night. We were driving home from something and you said it. And I was like, I'm going to fucking stress about that for the rest of my days.
I must have had a contact high from, we must have just gotten back from a concert. I was so stressed. When did I say, the things that your brain will grab onto are absolutely
yes, it's phenomenal. A button. It's a button for me. The
time and sorry. Space
thing, the dimensions thing.
I know. Oh, that's how I feel about. I don't want to say it because then.
Yeah.
Anyways.
The what? Now I'm curious.
No, it's like what is the thing when we talk about like stars or the moon or something, or I can't remember.
The moon conspiracy theory?
No. There's something else that like squigs me out.
Yeah.
I can't remember what it is. Maybe it's like.
I feel like you do when you're just not saying.
No. What's the thing? Like not aphids. Not the vault, not the SCS stuff, or the vault stuff.
The Fermi paradox thing?
No, I'm fine with that. son of a bitch!
I can't remember.
No, it's okay. I'm sorry. Also, I've totally derailed this
conversation. Yeah, that's okay.
I apologize. Back to your situation where you're sitting there waiting.
So yeah, I'm standing in front of this office being like, maybe I'm trapped in a liminal space. I don't know what's going on.
Also, I can't believe that's where your mind jumps to for Go on.
And I was like, okay, this is really stressful. So I stood there and I waited until like, I don't know, 10 minutes after my appointment was supposed to start. I stood outside this office all told for like probably 20 minutes.
And that's a long time.
Yeah. And because I didn't know what to do.
What happened?
And so I get back in my car and I'm crying. I'm bawling because I was just like, God damn
You're
it.
Mad
like
at yourself.
I just, well, I was mad at myself, but I was also mad because I was like, I don't understand why this didn't happen or like what is going wrong here, but I just wanted to be in therapy. Like, I just want to fucking feel better. Like, I just, God, you know? And then I'm crying and I get a phone call and it's from like an un. like listed number in my phone, but it's like a Tucson area code number. And so I was like, oh my God. So I answer it and it's the therapist. And the therapist, actually, you know, I'm going to out him because he's a piece of shit. His name is Scott. And he, he is like, hi, Mickey, this is Scott. I am calling because I thought we were supposed to have an appointment today. And I was like, yeah, me too. I was just up there and your office door is locked. And he was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I went across the street to Circle K to get like an iced tea or something. And, you know, you must have caught me like in the 5 minutes that I was gone. And I was like, I don't fucking, I didn't say this, but I was like, I don't fucking believe you. Like, I was just up there.
Also, why would you leave?
And also, I knocked on the door too. I like pulled on the door. Let me, you know,
the door opened into their office, right?
Well, it opens into like a waiting room and then there's separate offices, you know, it's like a group practice thing. Yeah. So I had like pulled on the door gently.
No one else was at the group practice?
Okay. Apparently fucking not. And I like knocked on the door and it's like a metal door. So it's loud. And I was like, this is fucking sus, whatever. And he was like, okay, well, I'm still here. Like, if you want to have our session as scheduled, you're welcome to come upstairs. And I was like, okay. So if I can dry my eyes and go upstairs. And like, of course, told myself like, oh, you know, I'm freaking out for no reason, blah, blah, blah. You know, like be calm about it, when I should have been fucking annoyed at him.
Yeah.
Because also, if you know that you have a client coming, drink beforehand. I would never leave the fucking building if I knew I had an appointment. If I can't be in my office 15 minutes before a client is supposed to be here, I'm not going. I'm not leaving.
Yeah.
Like, there's no good reason for you to leave your office like that.
No, literally.
Especially even if you are going to do it, if it's like an emergency or whatever, put a note on the door.
Anything.
If you know that you're the only person in the building.
Also 5 minutes, but you stood there for 20 minutes.
Like, exactly. That's what I'm saying. So that's not even the worst part though. I ended up actually having like a really long like therapeutic relationship with this man.
You had that therapist for a while.
That like, you know, it was like a pretty decent therapy experience, right? I like worked through some family stuff and whatever. And I ended up,
I can't remember why you stopped.
Part of the reason that I stopped seeing him was because of COVID. Because COVID happened.
Was it with him still?
Yeah. Yeah, because I was still seeing Scott. You did
see him for a really long time. Mm-hmm.
And I was still seeing Scott when we first started making YouTube videos on the channel. Because there was a video, it's privated now, but in one of the videos, I like joked about why I have my own therapist or whatever. And I, in the bottom, it said like, thanks Scott, LOL or something. I was still seeing Scott at the time. This was like in 2019 when we started the channel.
Oh, really?
So I didn't stop. The channel
is sometimes so new and so young at the same time for me.
So when COVID happened, obviously everybody started doing telehealth.
Of course.
And my appointments with Scott were really spotty. But eventually, you know, I was able to like make the schedules align. And I saw him for a couple of appointments. And then during one of our video calls.
Okay.
You
did telehealth with him?
Mm-hmm.
Fuck, man. I don't.
Yeah.
I thought you. Okay, go on.
Also, to cut this out.
Can we have a conversation about that?
Yeah.
If there's something you're afraid to tell your therapist.
Yeah. Bad news, man.
If there's something going on in your life that you're afraid to tell your therapist.
Because you know it's bad. That was why I was doing it. I knew it was bad and I knew my therapist would call me onto the carpet for it.
Dude.
So I didn't bring it up on purpose.
Have I ever been afraid to tell my therapist anything?
To be fair, this is morally neutral. Lots of people do it.
Yeah,
but if you're doing this, it might be worth
There might be something there to, I know, anytime there's something that I'm like, I don't want to do that, I definitely, like, fuck you for bringing that up. Uh-huh. And I'm like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Oh, shit, that's a fucking.
Also, tell your therapist about it. We won't judge you.
About what?
Whatever it is that you're not.
Oh.
At least
oh,
a good we, therapist shouldn't judge you. Oh,
I think we won't judge you. I wouldn't judge you either.
Well, no, but a good therapist shouldn't judge you.
Wow.
Yeah. So.
Thank you for dating that for me. Wow.
During one of those appointments, the last appointment that I had ever had with him.
Yeah.
He tells me, by the way. Moving forward, we won't be able to have therapy sessions anymore because I'm losing my license.
Yeah. That's
weird. He's like, the board is revoking my license. And I was like,
that's a weird thing to
say. Come again?
Mm-hmm.
What? So he tells me, this is how you know that this man is a fucking terrible person. He tells me back in a different state, the state that I lived in before I moved to Arizona, I had a client who, you know, had a particular diagnosis. I'm not going to say which diagnosis it was because I don't want to put that person's business in the street. But it was one of the diagnoses that's like commonly lumped in with, like, oh, this person could never be healthy or whatever. And he tells me, you know, I it was my fault. I worked with high risk clients. And I wasn't clear enough with them about boundaries. And so they made a bunch of allegations about me that are not true, but that ultimately the board decided, you know, my disciplinary action is like blah, blah, blah. This was also, he didn't tell me this, but I found this out later.
I know, because I remember you
because I fucking Googled it. Yeah. He told me that this was like the first time that this has happened and the board had just stolen his license. Lie. He was disciplined previously and put under supervision, which is why he was working at the fucking group practice that he was working at, because he was already independently licensed, but he was working at this group practice with this supervisor because the board disciplined him and told him that you have to go back to getting supervision and have somebody observe you, because clearly you have a fucking funky understanding of what appropriate ethics are. So he finished that supervisory relationship, then fucked some shit up again, and then got his license revoked by the board. But so he tells me...
Although it's hard to get your license revoked.
Yes. He tells me the board's yanking my license, basically, so we won't be able to see each other in a therapeutic context moving forward. I've decided that it's not worth it for me to pursue, like, an appeal and all of that stuff. It's too expensive. You know, I'm probably just going to get, like, a bartending job or something. Uh-huh. He's divulging all this to me, by the way. And so he was like, but, you know, if you still want to work with me, like, we can probably do something off the books. Like, I'll just be, like, a life coach for you. And so, like, you know, we don't have to call it therapy, but, like, that's kind of, you know, it'll be, like, mostly the same, but we'll just call it life coaching instead. And I was like, I felt like I was living in an alternate universe. Because at the time I was in grad school.
Oh, yeah.
Or no, I wasn't in grad school. I was doing my supervisory hours.
Yeah, no, you would have been.
Yes. I had finished grad school and I was, like, in the sauce with, like, rules and statutes. And I was, like, constantly studying the board rules, because that's part of...
You love your rules.
Yeah, that's part of what you're supposed to learn is, like, what the appropriate ethics are.
It's a good thing. You just like them a lot.
So I was, like, confused and shocked and horrified, because also
understandably,
for those of you who don't know, that's so inappropriate for a therapist to proposition you to be a life coaching client, first of all, but second of all, to say basically we'll still do therapy, but I'm just not going to call it therapy. That's illegal. That's literally, like, fucking illegal
as fuck.
And also probably why you lost your license.
Literally, I know, you're like, you're doing all the things that would make me believe that you really actually lost it for a good reason.
So that all happened. Yes. And I remember I talked to you being like, I just feel really weird about this. Like, I don't want to see him anymore. Just all bad, right? He's
like,
right?
Oh, we're doing it for cash.
Yes.
And at that time, I would have been like, they're not going to take our insurance anymore. Like, that's fucking bullshit.
No,
like,
weird.
No wonder insurance isn't going to pay out on that.
Yes. So we... like concluded our therapeutic relationship. He was like, I'll let you think about it, and if you want to see me in that capacity, you can reach out to me. I never reached out to him.
Understand.
But I was like, this just fucking feels wrong, man. It feels wrong. There's something weird about it. It was like that intuition thing
where, like, you trust that
your
shit.
Body is like, so I Googled it like months later.
Because you saw him later. For a couple years, right?
Yeah. And I Googled it like months later.
Because there's like a, yeah.
And like Googled his name, and I was like,
because you can look up the actions by the board, can't you?
And
the-
yes, but I found that. I looked through all the paperwork, which, again, trigger warning, this is like a very contentious abuse of power and also like an inappropriate sexual relationship between a therapist and a client. But the paperwork from the state that he previously lived in was that he was disciplined for having an inappropriate sexual relationship with a client. The client alleged that this therapist... first of all, like, blurred the lines by, like, sending personal text messages and things like that.
I forgot about this. Oh, my God.
But also that he would show up at her house
yes.
on his way home from work asking for a hug.
Yes.
The client and the therapist both denied having a sexual relationship with one another.
Wasn't she married or something? Or...
I think so.
Yeah.
Actually, that was... oh, my God, that's what it was.
Yeah.
Is that the client's... spouse was the one who reported it.
Yes.
But then the client later, when in realizing that they had been victimized, was like, hey, fuck you. Like, I thought I was, like, in love with you, kind of a thing, but realized that, like, oh, I was just being manipulated this whole time.
God, it's so bad.
They both reported this therapist to the board.
Yeah.
Therapist was disciplined. In reviewing this therapist's, like, stuff, first of all, he fled his other state after this inappropriate relationship took place and all of these. The client basically, like, told him, I'm going to report you if you don't stop. And so he fucking moved. He moved to Arizona from the state that he lived in. And then the client was like, oh, yeah, you think that's funny? Like, fine, I'm going to report you to the fucking Arizona board. Watch this. So they reported my therapist to the Arizona board. the Arizona board did this whole investigation that also uncovered that he hadn't kept any of his prior client records from his past private practice in the state that he lived before, which if you don't know, therapists are mandated by law in most states to keep clinical records for at least 7 years.
Oh, yeah.
After the client's work has ceased.
Yeah.
And this was like 2-3 years later. Dude. So he didn't have any records in the paperwork. It specifically said his excuse was that he stored the records in a shed in his house.
Oh, I forgot
here.
About the fucking shed.
And that the rats ate the records. That's why the records were unusable.
The dogs ate my homework.
Literally. So that all happened.
It's not funny, but it's so like...
It's just wild.
Be for real.
Yes.
Be for real.
But then... There was a bunch of other allegations that were made about inappropriate conduct and all of this stuff, right? And the therapist, but also this is the thing that really got me, is that when he told me, I'm losing my license,
the board just being a bitch.
And also that, you know, oh, they made these allegations that are not true, blah, blah, blah.
Then why would
in the complaint, he admitted guilt. He acknowledged and said, I did do these things. I recognize that they're inappropriate. I agree with the board's decision to revoke my license, all of this shit. He knew. He fucking knew.
And he lied
and he was a liar. A fucking liar.
Fuck, that is so shady.
Yeah.
Scary. Skeevy.
Yeah. Scary. Truly, what the fuck is that?
You have bad. That's bad luck.
Yeah.
That's really.
Thankfully, nothing like weird ever happened in my relationship with him. There was a couple of times that he made comments about my clothes and about my body that made me uncomfortable, but he just kind of breezed past
also
it
too,
thinking
because,
like
your whole fucking life, you've already been conditioned to like, it's just the fucking way it is.
Yes. Yeah. And I remember thinking
God,
like,
so fucked up.
You know, oh, whatever. That's probably just me being sensitive about it, but nope. And then also thinking back about it, there was a time that I like didn't clock it in the moment, but I realized that this therapist like offered to violate HIPAA. Because they offered to show me something that a former client of theirs had made. It was like a blog post or something. They're like, oh, I think you would resonate with this. Like, let me show it to you. And I was like, no, that's okay. And I just like didn't really think about it. But like looking back, they like almost violated HIPAA. Yeah.
That'd be like someone be like our couple's therapist now being like, hey, there's this.
You would love this YouTube channel by these people. Yeah, you can't do that. That's literally not allowed.
Oh, no.
Insane. Mm.
Oh, that's awful.
So that's my therapist horror story. My therapist
I had something to share, but I'm glad I don't.
Person.
Can we talk about how crazy it used to be in elementary school? You used to have to ask to go to the bathroom. Is that good? Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
I think it's a good thing.
I feel like too, that's not great for autonomy, but also too, kids do be fucking off sometimes. But also too, then like that's on them for missing. But then also I'm like,
but
it's
also
important.
Then like as a teacher, you can have a conversation with them about that.
Yeah. Like, hey, you're missing a lot of class or your bathroom use.
Preemptively
like,
assuming that people are distrustful is not helpful for their development, in my opinion.
Yeah, that's true. Because it also creates this dichotomy of like, your person in charge of you will inherently think you're a bad person.
And also, like, why don't you give them the opportunity to be trusted? Because that will probably make them less likely to have this desire to like rebel against the thing that you're pushing them, you know?
Yeah.
Do I just
you
don't agree with
inherently
that.
I think we are so opposite in that way. When you see or meet someone for the first time, do you inherently believe them to be a good person or do you prefer or is your preference to be proven otherwise? Or do you
I think I am like naively assume that people are just inherently good people.
I assume people are like I feel like I have to be proven that someone
that's fair.
Yeah.
I am kind of distrustful of people. In the sense that, like, I am not one to divulge a lot about myself.
You are not.
But not because I'm assuming that they're going to, like, betray me or burn me, but just because it's, like a fear thing for me.
I wonder if I've picked that up from you, my ability to learn things about other people without divulging my own information.
Maybe.
Or is that just me being guarded?
It might also just be why we're compatible.
It might just be.
You ready for some stories?
Of course.
So this one is a therapist horror story. It says, I wish I had a positive story for you. Long story short, my first therapist who I had been working with for months ghosted me when she got a different job. Prior to that, made it seem like we would just need to move appointment times around. I feel like that's a very obvious no-no that doesn't need saying. It took me almost a year to find another one that I unfortunately didn't mesh well with at all. Mickey's video about CBT shed some light on why that may be. She was very solutions oriented and would latch onto every little thing that I said, which made me a bit defensive, to be honest, and would try to fix the problem right then and there. We ultimately parted ways with her saying, paraphrasing here, that my life is good on paper, so maybe I should try meditation or something. I really have things I'd like to work on and through, but feeling pretty defeated after all of that. And of course, it's hard not to feel like I'm the problem in this situation, being the common denominator and all, even though I know that's not rational. I haven't given up on therapy. It's just hard with insurance and hoping not to run into similar situations.
I think it's the thing too, when something feels like you can tell yourself, you can intellectualize it.
Yes.
And like tell yourself that's not the case, but like it still feels that way.
Yes.
It sucks.
Well, and also
fucking blows.
Being a person who's like super self-aware is oftentimes, especially with like new or inexperienced therapists, they'll be like, oh, like you're healthy, right? And like,
I'm just aware, like, yes. No, bitch. Like it's not like that.
Oftentimes it's more like the rationalization and the intellectualizing thing than it is reflective of like a healed emotional wound. You just are able to speak really detachedly, like in a very detached manner about your issues, but that doesn't mean that you're not affected by them though.
I myself in therapy, I'm like, I'm giving my caveats at the front right now, and then I'm not gonna say it again. Like I literally will be like, I know it's this, this, and this, and this, and that, and I was like, okay, now I'm gonna share my truth.
You feel? Yes.
But I still like, it's so hard to not.
Also, to be clear, that's never okay for your therapist to be like, well, your life's good on paper, so I don't know.
What a rude
that's
thing to
so
say.
Hateful.
Like, why would you say that to someone? Like,
I don't
know. It's basically like saying like, well, you don't really have any real problems, so like, why are you even here?
Like, okay.
Also, like, even if I didn't, like, I don't know, it's your job to fucking
help
figure
me.
This shit. Yeah.
Well, and there is a time and place where therapists can sometimes express that, like, hey, I don't know that you need me anymore.
Totally.
Right?
Well, yeah,
it's not
sense.
Ethical or appropriate for me to continue taking money from you when I'm not providing you with any benefit. But also, you can voice that as, like, let's take a hiatus, right?
Yes.
Let's see how you do. Like, I've done that many times in my career where I'm like, listen, all of the things that we talked about at your intake session, right?
Yeah.
Like at the outset of things you wanted to work on, we're doing great. Like you're accomplishing all those goals. You're doing a lot of great work managing these things. And I know that it feels scary to leave therapy, but like, let's try a hiatus.
Yeah.
Let's try a brief break. Let's give you the opportunity to fly and see how you feel. And if it doesn't feel right, then you can
right
go back.
Here. Safety net.
Right?
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Yes. But I tell my clients all the time, you might be surprised, because oftentimes when we get over that initial fear, the anticipatory anxiety, you might feel a lot more liberated. And also you might notice your growth a lot more than you do being here with me in the shit all the time.
Yeah.
You know? And like to date, I've never had somebody come back after me doing
never?
The hiatus thing. Never had somebody be like, oh, this hiatus didn't work.
Yeah.
I've had clients return for therapy, obviously.
Yeah.
But I've never had somebody be like, this hiatus didn't
work. That's so encouraging.
Lady, let me back in.
Yeah. I think that was one of the best things, too, that happened with couples therapy, because we had it on Mondays. But like Mondays often have holidays and stuff or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so it just worked out that we weren't able to go for like 2 or 3 weeks or something.
Mm-hmm.
And at the next session we had, we were kind of like, yeah, nothing really happened. Like we were fine.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes.
Like it's kind of nice when that happens. You're like, oh, yeah.
It feels good.
Yeah.
Yes. Having a therapist validate that for you too, that like I can see the work playing out in real time.
God,
feels so good.
Nice. Couples therapy is a drug. Honestly.
I know.
I feel so bad that I wasn't more. I wish we had done that sooner.
I think also the problem is that therapist is just a really good therapist.
God, that is true.
There is like such a high in having a therapist who really sees you and gets you.
Yeah.
That's why it's important that therapists be ethical about not keeping you forever, because people will stay. It feels good.
That's true.
Scary.
It does feel, yeah.
Yeah. It's a heavy responsibility.
Yeah, to be like, okay, I think you're good.
Yes. Especially too, because like the truth is that obviously therapists view our relationship through the appropriate therapeutic and boundary lens.
Yes.
But we also care about you as people.
It's probably nice too, getting check-ins and checkups and like.
Yes. Like selfishly, because I'm nosy and I love learning about people's lives, but also because like when you work with somebody for a long time, you genuinely care about them.
How could you not?
And like, so then, you know, at a certain point you're like, like I'm nervous for you, right? Or like I don't want to like make you feel like you're being left in the lurch, and I want to know how your life's going. Like I want to continue to see you succeed, but like I think this is where our road has ended.
Yes, a good time to call
it. It's always so sad. Cry a lot of the time.
Do you have another one?
Okay, so this is, like I said, not explicitly a therapy horror story, but a horror story nonetheless that I actually specifically requested this person share in the listener if
they're comfortable.
Well,
we heard it live.
Yes.
I haven't gotten to hear the whole thing. I got bits and pieces of it.
Yeah, they shared it with us during one of our like Discord hangs. And I was like, for real, if you're comfortable with it, you should share that in the listener mail thing, because it's a wild story.
I need everyone to close their eyes for a second. And I want us to just picture we're at our local public community library and we're settling in for story time.
Mm-hmm.
It's
we're in the amphitheater.
It's summer of 2002.
Yep.
It's hot outside. It's Phoenix.
But it's cool in here.
So it's 112 degrees outside.
Yep.
And you come inside and that AC hits you.
So
and that
nice.
Oh, God. And the smell. There's just such a smell to libraries.
Yep.
The pages, the books.
It smells like books.
Oh, God. And there's a nice, soft-spoken, mousy librarian.
Kind woman at the front
sweetest
desk.
wouldn't hurt a fly ever. And she's going to sit us all down and she's going to read us a story. Okay. I am the mousy librarian. Okay. The worst date ever. So this would have been like 2015 or 2016. I went on this date with a guy who lived maybe like an hour from me. I honestly should have picked up on the vibes the universe was giving me from the start. Nothing went right that day. I had forgot that I needed gas. I think I was having trouble with my hair or clothes or something. I don't remember exactly. My GPS was on the fritz for some reason and would switch from showing me the directions to showing me in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. So I ended up getting lost when I got off the freeway and had to call him and have him direct me where to go, which he was not good at giving directions. Red flag. I added that part in there. And I get very dysregulated. Oh, this is in parentheses. And I get very dysregulated when I am lost. So of course, who doesn't?
Yeah.
So it took everything in me not to yell at him. LOL. I hate not knowing where I'm supposed to be going. Oh, I totally Google parking lots and stuff.
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, I need to know what I'm walking into. Yeah, I need to know how trafficky this area could be. Yeah.
I also look at the menus for restaurants before we get there because I just need to plan.
Oh, of course. I know. I never understood. Especially like when people go like, I don't know, that's not fucked up. When older people go to Taco Bell though, and they have a hard time ordering, I'm like, this has been around. You've been doing this longer than me. Like drive-thrus are not a new thing. No, anyways. Literally. So when I get there, his dad was outside like washing his car or something, which I don't care if someone lives with their parents. I live with my dad. I am also his caretaker, but I have always lived at home. So it doesn't bother me at all. What did throw me was that he wanted me to meet his dad. Keep in mind, this was a first date. Meeting the parents on a first date?
Wild.
Hell no.
Wild expectation.
Okay. I'd never met this guy before, and the first thing he does is have me meet his dad. Again, should have just turned tail and bailed. So after I meet his... Can we talk about... Never mind. I'm not even going to put that business out there.
What?
Nothing. It has something to do with you, and I'm not going to put it out there. So after I meet his dad, who looked just as awkward as I did, to be honest, yeah, that's fair and weird. We get into his truck and he starts driving away. We had plans to go get something to eat and then maybe see a movie if we were feeling it. I got into his truck under the assumption that we were going to a restaurant. This man says, hey, so my car stereo broke last week and this is the only chance I have to get a new one. I'm going to swing by the shop and just see what they have. Is that okay? Flabbergasted, I just kind of looked at him a moment and I say, I am really hungry. I would appreciate if we could just go get food. He goes, it will just take a moment. So I go, I guess.
Terrifying, first of all.
That's already, I'm like, I'm getting out of this truck.
Literally.
So he heads to the shop. Again, I should have just asked him to take me back to my car, but this was a long time ago and I was very much in my people pleaser ways. Oh, that's fair. Also, too,
they did advocate for themselves, though. They said, I want to go eat.
And the person did not respect it. On the way there, this man fucking... This man fucking farts so fucking loud and like it took effort.
No.
You know the face that people make when they put effort behind it? Yeah, he did that. And then tried to play like nothing happened when I asked if he just farted. One of my best friends, like, I know when that little fuck's gonna fart, he has stinky farts. And like he'll sometimes try to play. I'm like, no, bitch. I'm just picturing that in this car, like someone like really, like probably did the lift. Yeah, they lift the leg up and all. And can you imagine me like, no, it wasn't me. What are you talking about? You can't be like, oh, there was a frog in here or something. Like
literally so wild.
What is that? Oh, that's so enough. That would have been donezo right there.
Yes.
And he tried to play it off like nothing happened when I asked him if he had just farted. Like if he had owned up to it, I would have laughed, been floored to do that on a first date, but that would have been like almost so confident that like you can't even be mad at it.
Literally.
But also in a truck,
an enclosed space.
It probably was a fucking two cab too, I'm picturing, a single cab.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we pull up to the stereo shop and we get out and head into the shop. As soon as we get inside, I am hit with the smell of shit. And I was like, fuck, I don't want to be in a shop that smells like literal, actual shit. But I didn't drive there, so wasn't there anything I could do. And he said it was only going to be a minute, right? At this time, I was smoking cigarettes. So I just told him that I was going to go outside and smoke, less to have a cigarette, but just to get away from the smell.
Fair.
Totally fair. I do not do well with smells. Oh, fucking same.
Yeah.
And he comes out a few minutes later and asks if, sorry, the little thing got in the way, and asks if he can have one. So I give him a cigarette. And while we're smoking, he says, I'm going to get the stereo installed right now. And I flat out tell him, I want to leave. I am hungry. I would appreciate if you would take me back to my car. And he laughs and says, no.
actually his, bone chilling.
This next part is just as bad too. Throws his barely smoked cigarette down and steps on it and heads back inside. Hateful. Not only are you rude, you're hateful. You're not.
Yeah, you also respecting wasted my cigarettes.
Oh my God. So this is fun. I finish mine, head back in, and I'm looking at the stereos because in a previous job, used to sell car stereos at Best Buy. So as I'm looking at these stereos, he comes over and is looking with me, and it fucking hits me. I realize that while I was looking at the stereos, I wasn't smelling the shit smell. Did you steal my Nito?
Yeah.
That's smart. But when he walked over, do you know that part in Spirited Away when Sen smells the mud spirit? Oh, we still haven't seen Spirited Away.
Oh, no, we haven't seen it. No!
And that buzz moves through her body. That happened to me. I just looked up and ahead and actually looking at anything. This man had shit himself when he farted. Shat.
That's so not okay.
Oh, sorry. I should have. This is in all caps and perioded. Shat himself. Sorry, I was broken up by the page. Oh. I just saw himself. No. Okay. And I was there with him. This was before I had ever really used Uber or Lyft and never, yeah, because it was 2015, 16. I don't think Ubers and Lyft were really, like, they were just barely starting. Common, yeah. Or like comfortable, like driving with a stranger, sound like a fucking.
Yeah. Oh,
so I just went to the tiniest waiting room that had no airflow. And mind you, this was in the middle of summer, which will come into play later too. So I was sweating like crazy, sitting on the world's most uncomfortable couch, playing games on my phone because what the fuck else could I do?
Yeah.
It took an hour. Luckily, he didn't come over to the waiting room because I don't think I could have handled the heat and the snow.
Ew.
So we finally are able to leave and I tell him I want to go to my car and go home. He says he wants to buy me food first. I tell him no, thank you.
Yeah.
But then I realize that my phone is dying. I ask if he has a charger I can use until we get back to his house. He says no, but he needs to get gas. So we stop at the gas. This man is just running errands as a first date.
Yes.
So we stop at the gas station. I go buy cigarettes and a charger because I'm fucking there. Why not?
Yeah.
We then go to a little taqueria and he insists he wants to buy me something for me. Then tells me what I'm allowed to get.
Ew.
I end up getting a burrito. I ask him to take me back to my car. He says he needs to go to one more place. Where else could there possibly be to go? I send my dad a text telling him to call me and say I need to get home because he needs my help with something urgently.
Yeah.
My dad calls. Good call. I tell this dude in no uncertain terms, take me to my car now. Finally, after trying to argue, he takes me back. I get out of his car and just walk straight to my car. Also, keep in mind that his truck now smells like shit, too. Oh, I forgot about the smell already, too.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Which also, can we just talk about really quick?
Yes, we can.
This, like, premise of, like, I am going to run errands with you on my first date.
Already bad.
Weird, right? And also off-putting. But on top of that, the fact that on this first date, you took this person with you to go get a car stereo installed, but you didn't sit with them in the waiting room. Obviously, I'm glad that they didn't because the smell would have probably been nauseating. Oh, okay. But the fact that you didn't sit with them when you brought them here on a first date, like, why did you do this?
Yes.
Why did you bring me here? This is so bizarre.
All of this is bad. Can you imagine?
Even if this had happened to me, right? If there was like some terrible coincidence that I like needed to run this errand, first of all, I would apologize profusely and be like, maybe we'll just reschedule.
Yes.
But second of all, if this really ended up happening where I somehow found myself in the situation that I just could not escape having to run an errand on a first date, you better believe I would be doing the most. Like the riz would be pouring out of me trying to make this a somewhat enjoyable experience for this person.
Can you imagine too, for a first date, showing up to someone, I guess it's not the craziest thing, but showing up to someone's house where you live with your parents, like,
yeah, being like, come meet my parents. No.
Like, we're not friends on a fucking date.
I don't know
like,
you.
I might not ever see you. Like this.
I don't want to meet your parents.
Oh, my God. Oh,
so
my
embarrassing.
God.
Okay, please continue.
Oh, my goodness.
Please keep reading.
Finally, after trying to argue, he takes me back. I get out of his car and just walk straight to my car. Also, keep in mind that his truck now smells like shit, too. I get into my car and pull away. GPS still isn't working, but I just want the fuck out of there. So I just start driving in a direction. And when I feel I'm far enough away, I try to get the directions back to the freeway. I do, and as I'm driving, my phone alerts that it's going to die. My fucking port on my car isn't working. I ended up pulling over, calling my dad, crying, telling him that my phone is going to die, and that I just want to be home. He is able to navigate me to a Best Buy to buy a battery backup. That's so sweet. Oh. To buy a battery backup, which has enough charge to get me back to the freeway and home. That's nice. And then my fucking car overheats because it's a fucking 105 degrees outside. No. Like smoking overheats. Oh, no. Fuck. So I had to pull over under an overpass in the shade and let the car cool down for like an hour. I was able to play on my phone because I knew... because I knew where I was and I didn't need directions anymore. But it just fucking cherry on top, the literal shittiest date ever. Finally got home and just broke down crying to my dad. Aww. I can laugh at it now, but at the time, not even a little bit.
Yeah. That's like God, genuinely so traumatizing. There. Ugh. Can you believe?
I can't imagine.
Also, can we talk about the pants shitting, please? Because
listen, that man does not wash.
No, definitely not. But also, like, let's just be real, right? Like, I think most people, as an adult, they've shit themselves at some point, right? Like,
I did at the airport.
It happens.
I had because it was not my fault though.
No,
because I had fucking a poke bowl in a goddamn landlocked state made by a college student in a fucking college town,
and you're like an idiot. An airplane.
I have never.
But also, okay, let's just talk about like.
Have I talked about that on the pod?
I don't think so. You should tell your pants shitting story.
Well, because the plane. Oh my god! I forgot about. Also, I just want to be so clear. The person that this story is from, yeah. I did not do it justice.
Mannerisms the way that this person
and the other person
tells
is
so
a true
good.
Storyteller, yeah. And obviously there's to tell. But thank you again for letting us share it on the pod.
Yes.
So we had went out the night before, or I wanted to. We were going out, and I was like, I got to go back to my hotel room. Like, I'm not going to make it out here because I'd already had to go to the bathroom a couple times at the bars. At this point, I'm figuring out. I pretty sure I have fucking food poisoning.
Yeah.
I've never had food poisoning really like that before. Yeah. But I had it. And so we had to leave, and it was for a work trip too. So I'm with all my friends and stuff.
Yeah.
And we get to the airport and we had just had breakfast. I'm thinking I'm going to be fine because I was like trying not to eat to like not make it worse.
Sure.
And I was in the bathroom for so long. Like, I was in and out of the bathroom while we were waiting for our plane to take off. And there was one more and I was like, I'm not going to make it. I was like sweating. Yeah. I'm in the airport.
Diarrhea
just
sweats.
Dying.
Oh,
and
no.
So I'm hot and sweaty and I'm like, I got to go to the bathroom. And I hear them call our plane to start boarding and all my friends and stuff are going and I'm like, guys, like, go get on the plane. I gotta go to the bathroom. Like, I'm not gonna fucking make it. I was like, luckily it's not a long flight, but I'm in there and I'm shitting and I'm stressed and I'm fucking panicking and I'm shitting and I'm like, I have to, like, it's not stopping and I need to get on the plane. Like, I am so, like, that's one of my biggest fears is like watching the plane depart from the text. The fucking,
it's happened to me. Yeah. And I gotta tell you,
and
it's
I'm
not
like,
fun.
No, yeah, that's funny. That shit's awful. And I'm like, I have to get out of this bathroom. Luckily, they were clean bathrooms. But I'm like, I need to go. Like, I have to get out of here. Like, please, body, please release me. Oh, and at
just
this point,
stop
too.
It.
No, I didn't take the Pepto's. I took like five Pepto's. I'm like, to the next place. I was like, I just need you to firm this up, please. Please, God, please keep this shit in my body. And so I'm in there, and I'm like, I gotta fucking go. And this was not until that person who shit on the plane, and they had to take the plane back.
Oh, yeah.
But anyways, so I'm like, I gotta fucking go. I was like, what do we do? What do you do? And I think, and I'm like, when people with uteruses have periods, they make like a pad. I'm like, okay, I could do this. So I take like just a fucking mountain, of toilet paper, and I fucking make myself a little duty pad for my underwear. And I'm like, it feels so weird and so wrong. I feel like I have a diaper. Like my shorts were packed. I'm like, I gotta get on this fucking plane. So I fucking run out of the thing. And I'm like, I'm not shitting on this plane. I'm not drinking water. I'm not having food. I was like, no more. Nothing else is going in my body.
You're with a little diaper on this plane.
No, it's big, Aaron. It's adult, Aaron. This didn't happen that long ago.
No, I know.
Yeah. So I fucking waddle myself onto the fucking plane. And I'm sitting next to my friend. I'm like, do I smell? He's like, no. And I'm like, okay, thank God. Thank fucking God. I didn't tell him about the pad at the time.
Oh, my God.
But I was like, please, God, let me not have to go.
Fucking. So
I rode that whole plane. Luckily, it wasn't a long flight. I think it was like an hour and a half.
Yeah.
And we get to the next airport, and I'm like, I've never had to buy Pepto-Bismol before. I'm fucking waddling around looking for a kiosk for the dispensers with all the medicines and stuff. And there's my fucking golden ticket, those little pink tablets.
You went to the bathroom when you landed though, right?
Oh yeah. It was not that bad as I thought, but just the thought of having, it wasn't like clean per se, but I definitely felt like a disgusting,
yeah.
like
See, that's what I'm saying. Like, the only time in my life that I've ever shit my pants, thankfully it wasn't quite like that. Oh, it was like,
God, I wouldn't wish that on anybody.
It was at home, but like immediately I fucking beelined to the bathroom and like feverishly cleaned myself.
Well, and at this point too, like, we've been using the bidet for so long, I don't feel right when I don't get to use it.
It's terrible.
It's not right. I won't shit in public if I can help it.
No, unless it's an emergency.
I can say without a fucking shred of doubt, I shit more that day in public than I have my entire life. My entire fucking life.
Yeah, and honestly, also, too, we're not really like public poop people. We don't really do well with going to poop in public bathrooms.
It actually destigmatized shitting in public for me. Like, I can kind of do it now with confidence. Yeah, I don't mind. Like,
that's valid.
If you gotta let it, also too, because like, I just, of course, my body was just making the worst sounds ever, and it's just mortifying.
I know.
I always think of that episode of It's Always Sunny where they're like, well, what should we be playing in the bathrooms? And they just come up with like the guttural animal noises and stuff. It sounds like you're on a farm, like a fucking torture farm from hell.
Yeah, that's
And I'm like, honestly, like, I'd prefer that. At our work, we have a big giant industrial fan.
Yeah.
And it does kind of just swirl the shit smell around.
Oh,
but also,
yuck.
It's so loud and clinky, and it's like, okay. Go, 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 go. But it's so nice going to the bathroom in there.
Yeah.
You can't hear anything. Can't. Like, if you want to talk to anyone or anything, it's like, hey, what are you doing? And I love that. I wish that's every fair. Bathroom just had like a big giant industrial fan.
Yeah, my life hack is that anytime my body is making noises, because I don't have a gallbladder, and so like if you know, you know, your body just revolts against you sometimes, and so I will flush the toilet like while I'm pooping. Like, I'll just keep flushing.
Oh, no, that's
it
smart.
And
that's,
flushing
that's a
cur- it
that's
and flushing
courtesy,
it well both for the smell, but also because then you can't hear if my body is making any terrible noises. So I'm like, oh, if I know, if I have a feeling that this is gonna be loud, flush. Flush. Like, I just keep flushing the toilet because I just don't. But like, yeah, I just don't. I can't relate to the idea of pooping yourself and not caring about it. Because pooping yourself is a thing that happens to people, right? Like,
of course.
For lots of different reasons. I don't know. Maybe this
no
man
judgment,
had a medical
no judgment
condition.
For me anymore.
Right? Yeah, that's fine.
Totally.
I'm not necessarily judging shitting yourself, but if I shit myself on a first date, first of all, I'd be like, "Oh my God, I am so sorry."
I wouldn't. There'd be no notice. It'd just be.
Well, I would be like, I can't explain to you what's going on right now, but please trust and believe I'm not leaving this date by my choice. But I have to go.
You're leaving. Also,
you're
you would pick up on it.
Would happily see you again. Gotta go.
I need to get out of here for you and for me.
I need to go.
I can't imagine. But why did he push? Why did he fucking push so hard?
I don't know. I don't know.
I would have done everything in my body.
Yes.
Like, it's like that thing you joke about, like, when you finally get to your car after a first day and you just fucking.
That's literally happened to me before, where like I was about to finish up brunch with my girlfriend, who I've like I've known her for a while.
Yeah.
And like, I do like, you know, love and care about her and I like trust
her.
But like, we're eating brunch and I like, my stomach is doing the gallbladder thing. And I'm like, no.
Does your girlfriend know your gallbladder's removed?
I don't think so. But so I am like sitting there and I have gas pains and I'm like, we need to wrap this bitch up. I got
the worst.
So I'm like fucking like trying to eyeball our waitress. Like, please
give
me the
fucking
check.
I feel so bad.
Check.
I feel sometimes rude, but I'm like, I got to fucking get out of here
right
now. I got
to get out of here. Well, and so I'm sitting there and I have terrible gas pains. And sometimes when you have gas pains that are like urgent, it's like your body does this weird like spasm thing.
Yeah. It's
yeah.
Like,
and
you,
so
it's
I'm
like
sitting
you're
there.
You're becoming.
I'm perched on this chair like this. Like, I'm sitting on this chair like. Like, trying so hard to just, like, please, God, don't fucking fart in public right now. And I literally, my body was, like, so clenched. She was like, are you okay? And I was like, oh, I'm fine. I'm
so good. I'm so good.
And like, thankfully it finally passed. But like, even with this person that I like know and love and trust, I was like, I can't fart here. I can't do this. That's so fucking I can't imagine on a first date pushing a fart out like that.
No.
That's a wild choice to make.
And also, too, as we're having this conversation, I just think, wow, what a privilege I am that I get to be privy to all of your noises and bowel movements. How lucky.
Yeah. I tell you, like a little sports report.
Oh,
I gave
you
the instant recaps.
Yeah. Also, got to make sure if you didn't, I'd think something was wrong.
Yeah.
I just can't imagine. But also, in a car. Also, I just can't.
In an enclosed space, too.
This is why it's so, like, first date, just mutual.
Yes.
Middle, public place.
Yes. Exactly. This is also why I am like so like insistent about meeting in public.
But also, can you imagine like the misogyny, like the power of privilege, like to someone be like, hey, I don't want to do this anymore. Can we go? And they're like, no, I'm getting this fixed now.
Literally so scary.
Like, bring a fucking dolly or something with you and need a
Literally.
Little companion.
But also, like, it is very
Fuck
much the
you.
Privilege thing of like, I don't know if it's just not understanding or not caring about how terrifying that is.
That would be mortifying.
It's bone chilling.
Yeah.
To be in a car where you're like, you're stuck with this person.
Yeah.
You can't leave. And they're like, no, I'm going to control everything that you're allowed to do right now. Horrifying.
No.
That's horror movie shit.
That is horror movie shit.
Immediately. I would be fucking terrified out of my mind.
I'm like block banned. Like, I don't want to ever.
Terrifying. Why would you do that?
Literally.
It really comes across as like, I'm like curious if this person knew that they were doing that. Like, do they enjoy
being a terrible person? I know. Like, I want to fucking ask them. Like, how does your dating life look like now? Like,
yes.
If that person was doing this shit then, they got to be having, they're single still. Like, they have to be, right?
I don't know.
No way in fuck.
They're either like terribly inept at understanding other people's wants and needs, or they are actively like a scary bad person.
But here's another thought too. You know that thing where like you kind of go nose blind to yourself or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
Like if you fart, you smell your own fart.
Of course.
If you shit yourself,
you
smell
it.
There's no way. There's no way. Also then
also you would feel it.
Also too, then I'm like in my head, I'm like, are you used to this smell?
Uh-huh.
Is this like something that's happening to you?
Are you like so nonplussed by this smell and sensation
that
it didn't occur to you that you just shit yourself on a date? Terrifying.
And I'm like,
was there already poop between those cheeks so that you didn't notice that there's poop in there now?
And it's
Are you
hot,
one of the people who thinks it's gay to clean your ass?
Oh.
You know?
Oh.
It begs a lot of questions.
It was heating up here. It's starting to get hot again. And I had my first day of swamp ass.
Yeah.
And I was like, fuck, man, I don't want to do this anymore. And I was like, so please gross. Be cold again.
I know.
Oh,
being sweaty in all of your crooks and crevices God. Is just not
I'm not
fun.
Saying they should have more bidets in public places because I'm quite frank. Or quite frankly, people would just ruin them.
Yeah, I wouldn't
or like,
use them
just,
anyways. Yeah.
But like, fuck, man.
It does make me think about bringing like a portable Perry bottle places. I'm like, is that overkill? Is God, that, I don't is think that I, a I don't wild
want,
choice
I don't
to
want
make.
People to know, like, yeah, I'm going to go fucking spray my ass. Like,
Listen, God. I have no shame about it. I have diarrhea 75% of the time.
Also,
I need to use a bidet.
I just can't imagine.
I feel yucky.
I can't imagine all of that. Also, like, I, without a doubt, am attracted to some, like, to, like I'm so picky. Like, shit like that is why I'm like, this is why, like, I'm not.
Yeah. Yeah. But also, too, you, like, you understand. This is why.
I don't know how.
This
I don't
is
know
why
how,
I feel like you have such, like, I don't know, like,
I'm
close
about,
relationships with women.
I'm picky or, like, about everyone.
Really people who are not cis
no,
men.
No, everyone just wants, yeah.
Is that too. But, like, it's because you get it, though. You know what I'm saying?
I just don't get it.
That, like, you would never date a man who is that way. This is why women are so picky, or I guess, like, you know, again, like, not cis men. This is why we're so picky about cis men, because it really there's a demographic, there's a type, you know, that
it just,
is like
it ruins the whole
not,
it
not
ruins the whole
type.
It ruins the whole batch.
It
what's
does.
The whole what's the whole batch or like what's
yeah.
this, there's like a
one
say,
spoiled apple ruins
one,
the whole bunch.
The whole bunch.
Yeah,
it's all of them.
It really is that way.
Oh, the smell.
Uh huh.
As it's, I think
but
most
like
people
the
are
flagrant disregard.
Also, like I.
It's weird.
I just also, too, like, I feel like that person was probably stinky to begin with.
Yes.
Like, I feel like anyone who, but also, why did they push?
Yes. That's the thing.
So many,
that's the thing.
Also, oh, I feel so bad about the GPS thing, too, because that is genuinely.
I know. Terrible.
Awful.
I'm really stressed if I'm my GPS.
If I'm my GPS.
It's a me.
If I'm my GPS.
Oh, we have the giggles.
I think this
I think
is
we
devolving.
Should wrap it up.
I know. Thank you for sharing the stories with us.
Yes, thank you for your horror stories.
I forgot all. I'm glad we ended with one of those because I completely forgot about all the shitty, awful therapy stuff.
Me too.
Wow.
Okay, we are going to go. Thank you for watching. If you
Thanks
enjoyed the episode, you can like it and leave us 5-star reviews.
And do
and
the
all
things,
those things
influencers say to do, I guess.
Yeah.
Or don't, honestly.
The
Thanks for hanging
you
and
do,
listening.
I don't know.
We just work here.
This has been The Pod. We appreciate you hanging out with us. And
I'm Mickey. That's Aaron.
Yeah, we'll see you next time.
Have a good one.
Bye.